Hello there, friends, and welcome to the New Testament in a Year podcast. I'm Sean Bailey, and I'll be reading some scripture with you, keeping this journey going as we are in episode 54 of reading the New Testament. Our goal is to get through this New Testament in this year, and we'll do that. 50 days in, I think we've got a pretty good pace going now, and we're in Hebrews chapter 10 today as we continue our study in Hebrews. I don't want to get too far into it. I about started preaching right there. I felt the Spirit hit me, but let's pause here for a second. Grab your Bible if you can. Listen closely if you will, and let's read God's Word together. So today we are starting in Hebrews 10. Let's do a little reminder of where we were in Hebrews chapter 9. Remember in chapter 9, talks about the superiority of Christ's sacrifice. That once and for all, perfect sacrifice. Jesus, the ultimate high priest, who offered himself one time is all it takes. As compared to the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, where it would be every year, right? Jesus, once and for all, to cleanse us from sin. Far greater, okay? Jesus is far greater. And now, Hebrews chapter 10 is building on this, talking about the sufficiency. Sufficient, good enough, more than enough. Of his sacrifice. And we're going to see in chapter 10 that we are urged to not drift away. Urged is probably an understatement. Just passionately begged, please hang on. It's kind of the heart cry of the author in the face of our challenges and difficulties. Okay, so here's some look for us. I kind of gave you some of them, didn't I? But here they are a little more clearly. The first one is, as we read chapter 10, it's framed out here. Notice a reminder of Christ's sacrifice being once and for all, and the old covenant sacrifices that really couldn't take away sin. That really couldn't, just covered it up. And the author hits that again. It reminds us, Jesus is better. Don't you forget. Far superior. And then perseverance in faith. Watch for this. He tells us we've got to hold fast. Hold fast to our confession of faith without wavering. Do not let the current push you away. Do not let this and that fad cause you to slip. And the author emphasizes the community aspect of faith. The importance of one another. Far too many believers try to do this thing on an island, and the vast majority of time they fail. They slide back. They don't follow obediently God's expectations for us. And that's because we aren't encouraging one another, exhorting one another, rebuking one another, supporting one another as we're called to do. A community of faith is so important. Watch for that. And then the last thing I want you to listen for is the consequences of willfully sinning. Just blatant sin in the face of knowing the knowledge of truth, having the knowledge of truth. Judgment will be brought and it will be clear. This fearful expectation of judgment should be real in our hearts. Fear of God is so important. Okay, so watch this, especially for those. This reverent fear is what we should have as believers that are obedient. They're walking in faith because of who he is, and we love and admire him. But the fear that the author talks about today is this, you better expect judgment, because he is a just God. And if you reject Jesus' sacrifice and you turn away from him, he will never know you. Away from me, he will say. Okay? Cast into the fire. Let's watch for this. Let's read that, because it's real. And we need to have our eyes open to that. And it's a warning, a stark warning against turning away from the faith. So here we go. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm excited. Let's read this together. If you'll turn with me, if you can. If you're just listening in, just listen close, because we're going to read 39 verses, a little bit longer than what we've read lately. So I'll try to give clarity as where we are and what we're reading as we read through this. So verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 10. Okay, so this is talking about the perfect sacrifice. Verse 1. Since the law has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the reality itself of those things, it can never perfect the worshipers by the same sacrifices they continually offer year after year. Otherwise, wouldn't they have stopped being offered, since the worshipers, purified once and for all, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in the sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year after year. For it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And I'm going to stop right there. It's important that the author is clarifying that that's the external washing of the sins, and we're forgiven of our external sins, but the only thing that can cleanse our consciousness, our hearts, is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that perfect sacrifice, not bulls and goats, but the perfect sacrifice can cleanse us internally and eternally, of course. And then verse 5, he goes on and says this, and he's about to, the author's about to quote Psalm 40. Okay, so he says, therefore, as he was coming into the world, he said, and here's where the quote starts, you did not desire sacrifice and offering, but you prepared a body for me. You did not delight in whole burnt offerings and sin offerings. Then I said, see, it is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, God. And he ends the quote from Psalms, and then he goes on and says, in verse 8, after he says above, you did not desire or delight in sacrifices, offerings, whole burnt offerings, and sin offerings, which are offered according to the law, he then says, see, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first to establish the second. By this will, we have been sanctified through the offering in the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Every priest stands day after day ministering and offering the same sacrifices time after time, which can never take away sins. But this man, after offering one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. He is now waiting until his enemies are made a footstool, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are sanctified. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. For after, he says, and then he quotes again from the Old Testament, this time from Jeremiah. For after, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days. The Lord says, I will put my laws on their hearts, and I will write them on their minds, and I will never again remember their sins and their lawless acts. Verse 18. Now where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Where there is forgiveness, there is no longer an offering for sin. Verse 19. And this is where he pushes us towards godliness. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, he has inaugurated for us a new and living way through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works. Consider one another, not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And then his verse 26, talking about this willful sinning now. For if we deliberately go on sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire about to consume the adversaries. Anyone who disregarded the law of Moses died without mercy based on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think one will deserve who has trampled on the Son of God, who has regarded as profane the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know the one who said, vengeance belongs to me, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. And those are two quotes, both from Deuteronomy. And he goes on and says this: it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of God. Verse 32. Remember the earlier days when, after you had been enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to taunts and to afflictions, and at other times you were companions of those who were treated that way. For you sympathized with the prisoners and accepted with joy the confiscation of your possessions, because you know that you yourselves have a better and enduring possession. So don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you need endurance. You need endurance so that after you have done God's will, you may receive what was promised. And then he quotes from Isaiah. For yet in a very little while, the coming one will come and not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he draws back, I have no pleasure in him. Verse 39, he closes and says this: but we are not those who draw back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and are saved. Amen to all that. Verse 39 wrapped it up perfectly of Hebrews chapter 10. A lot to process in our minds, right? But great things there. So let's take a moment. Hope that expect the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts and minds and give us some clarity here as we find some application and understanding of what we just read. So let's look at the takeaways now together. And what we just read in the beginning is first takeaway that is so important, and we've talked about consistently, is the power of Jesus' sacrifice. You see, the sacrifice of Jesus is not only amazingly powerful, but it's also permanent, and it provides complete forgiveness and complete cleansing inside out. And this should give us such confidence in our relationship with God, knowing that we are fully forgiven, knowing that when we repent, we turn away and have a heart seeking forgiveness. We are forgiven. You know what we should do? We should reflect first on that amazing sacrifice and the depth and the power of his sacrifice. And we should have a heart of gratitude. We should think every opportunity, every time we go to prayer, we've got to thank him for his forgiveness. We are broken people who mess up all the time, who fall short far too many times than we want to admit. But if we allow the truth of his promise and his sacrifice, and we thank him for that forgiveness, allow it to transform how you view yourself, because you are forgiven. You completely are forgiven, and your relationship with God should allow you to embrace him and come to him without reservation. The next takeaway is that we need to persevere. Stick with it. Stick with it. Have that stick with itness. You see, the call to persevere in faith that the author just read in our journey is not always easy, though. And the author knew this, and he knows that we can't do it together, but together we can support each other. We can encourage each other, especially in difficult times, to draw close to one another so that we can remain steadfast, focused in our faith. And so if you're listening today and you don't have a community of believers, my first encouragement would be for you to seek that out. Connect with a community of believers who can support you, who can encourage you in your journey of faith. Find a team of believers that will lift you up and guide you and bounce you back on track when needed. And also, be intentional about encouraging others too. It's amazing when you can offer encouragement the way that it can come back. We are called to do this together. And finally, the seriousness of sin cannot be overstated. What we just read in Hebrews 10 emphasizes this seriousness, especially when we deliberately reject Christ's sacrifice. Deliberate rejection of his sacrifice is clearly results in the consequences that we should be trembling in fear of God, because we will be consumed, thrown into the fire. So this should lead us to a deeper appreciation for the grace and the mercy that we have through Jesus, that we've been afforded that grace, that we've been given mercy in the face of our sins and filth. Appreciation for those that have, and for us that have swayed, been on the fence, and are listening just as something you feel like you might, should do, and you're not a believer. Praise God that you're listening, but I hope that the Lord convicts our hearts and we find a time for confession. Because that's the next step, is if we can regularly confess our sins to God, we can seek forgiveness regularly and use as an opportunity to grow. We reflect on ourselves. We use God's word and allow it to be a mirror to point out our flaws and seek forgiveness and repentance from those things that shouldn't be there. And we know what they are. We're learning what they are. This is an opportunity for us to grow in humility, us to grow in gratitude for God's amazing grace. Praise God for that. He puts up with us. He tolerates a lot just from me. So I know he does from you too. I'm so grateful for that. We can never afford him enough thanksgiving, appreciation that he deserves. We're on the receiving end of this amazing grace. Oh, I love it. All right, so let's wrap this up. We've been at it a while, almost 20 minutes. Mercy, I better hurry. All right, here we go. Let's wrap it up. I hope you have the best day ever. I really do, and I look forward to coming back on the next episode for Hebrews 11. So may you be blessed. May your family be blessed, and may you strive to be a blessing to all those around you. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to the New Testament in a Year podcast, where we simply read the Word of God. and we try to unpack it so we can find application in our lives, knowing that there is nothing more powerful than God's Word. You see, Scripture is the only source that teaches us who God is and what God wants of us. My encouragement is that the Word of God will bless you and ultimately bless your friends and family. I'll encourage you to share this podcast with your friends, share it on your social media or by word of mouth. Join in, let's read the Word of God together. And through this, may God be glorified through our reading, listening, application, and understanding of His Word together.